Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. It's a beautiful October afternoon as I'm filming this. I know the kids will be coming in soon and they'll be wanting to play, and I'm looking forward to that. And I hope that wherever you are and whenever you're watching this, that you too are enjoying good health, the love of friends and family, and so many of the blessings that God has given us. Let's have a Bible study together. If you would, grab your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you're like me and prefer a digital screen, get your Bible app open and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verses 26 and 27. So I was thinking about what we could talk about and thinking about the things going on in our country right now. We're dealing with the pandemic. A lot of people shut in and separated from each other. Not only that, we have so many of the social issues that are going on. The election's coming up. People are taking sides over that. And a lot of people are dealing with anger. And I thought that would be a good study for us today. So we're starting there in verse 26, which says, "Be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." So when we think about the problem of anger, well, it's a problem that's as old as Cain and Abel. If you think all the way back to the beginning of mankind and what happened there in that story. But thinking about us today, what kind of things do we do when we're angry? Have you ever said hateful things to someone because you're angry? Do we hold grudges or gossip to others when we're angry? Do we plan on how we can even the score when we're angry? Or have we ever wounded a loved one with the things that we've said or done when we're angry, or damaged our influence on the job or in the community, or even in the church because of things that we've said or done when we're angry? And have we hindered God's work? We've got to learn how to manage our anger if that's something that we deal with, and certainly all of us are angry from time to time. So if you pick up any of these self-help books on how to deal with anger, there's really about four things that all these self-help gurus seem to agree on as you deal with anger. And that's first that you have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge that you're angry. You have to understand what it is that you're angry about, and then work to move through that, and then continue to monitor to make sure that you don't continue to hold on to these feelings of anger. Well, that's a good list, but if you're there still in Ephesians chapter 4, you probably already realize that's God's list. Going back there to verse 26 again, says, "Be angry," which is to acknowledge that we are angry. And it says, "Do not sin." Well, then we have to understand our anger so that we know how to do that. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, which is to continue to move through that emotion, nor give place to the devil, which means we have to continue to monitor it. Well, no problem can be fixed unless we first acknowledge that there is a problem. And just like your car might have some warning signs that come on and let you know there is a problem, God designed our bodies with warning signs that let us know that we're angry. Medically, there are some changes that take place in the body. We may notice that we have a raised temperature or are sweating. Your body begins to breathe more rapidly as you're working, trying to get more oxygen into the body. Your heartbeat may climb to 180 beats per minute or higher. Your blood pressure may increase to 220 over 130 or higher. The muscles become tense. Some people may experience a tightness in the chest as they're angry. And all of this energy burst causes a sugar deficiency. I don't know if you've ever gotten so angry that you begin to shake. Well, that's because you've got a sugar deficiency in the body. All these things have caused you to get angry and start to shake, and that's because of a sugar deficiency. And so these are warning signs that a person is angry. Well, there's several responses we could have to that. You know, a person might just ignore these signs completely. Passive behavior, unexpressed anger. You might think of this in terms of resentment. That's what resentment is. When people try to deny their anger, resentment is the result. And it really destroys a person from the inside out. Denied anger is like a poison emotionally, physically, but most importantly, spiritually. It's just like that. We think about people in the Bible, perhaps, who had this passive resentment that carries on for years. And one that came to mind for me is Absalom. If you think about him in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 22 says, "And Absalom spoke to his brother neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon." So he hates him. Well, what's the end result of that? We know that story. He ends up killing him. This passive anger that builds for years and years and years until finally this resentment is carried out in murder. And so this happens lots of times, hopefully not to the extent where someone is killed over it, but this passive anger that builds really over little things. Lots of times you might think about this in a marriage relationship. You know, I did a search of things that people have in their marriage that are problems for them. And lots of times it's these little things. In fact, some of the things that were on this list were picking up the kids or doing the homework. That might seem silly, but people said they were mad about that. They were angry about that. Seems like I'm always the one who picks up the kids, or I always help the kids do their homework, or what to watch on TV. People were angry. It seems like my spouse always seems to pick what we watch on TV, or taking out the trash, or where to eat. Seems like they always pick where to eat every time we go out to eat, or whose house do we go to for the holidays, or leaving clothes on the floor, or poor manners, or this one I thought was funny, just failed to put gas in the car. And people were angry about that because over years and years and years, they've held on to this and they've not expressed that anger about this. But a person might not be passive about their anger. In fact, it might be just the opposite. They might be aggressive, have some explosive anger. Rage, you might think of, an explosive, uncontrolled expression of anger. And usually anyone who's in its path, whether it's a spouse or a family member, is taken by surprise at this expression of anger. You think about there in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 22. It says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. And so we're talking about this kind of anger that just explodes, takes out anyone in its path. So how do we deal with anger, whether it's passive anger or aggressive anger? Well, Proverbs 19 and verse 11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. You know, lots of times when we're thinking about these things that make us angry, perhaps if we would just slow down and think a little bit before we speak or act, or, you know, growing up, sometimes they told us you need to count to 10 before you come up with a response. Give yourself a chance to cool off and to think about what we're going to say or how we're going to respond, because we have to understand these words that are spoken, they can easily be taken back. And so we need to be careful about how we respond when we're angry. But we can understand that there are some reasons to be angry. Indignation is righteous anger. It's about injustice or cruelty or some unholy situation. And we think about God's anger, certainly it falls into this category. And you and I can also have this righteous kind of anger. Psalms 103 and verse 8 said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. It says he's slow to anger. It doesn't say he never gets angry. He does get angry, but he is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. So first, be angry. We acknowledge that anger is part of our human nature, but we have to understand it. God adds, do not sin. So we have to understand anger. So anger can be a useful, healthy emotion, actually, if it prompts us to do things like maybe teach the gospel or defend the truth or encourage the wayward or to rebuke sin or anything that helps us to live a godly life. Anger can motivate us to lead and change. And so we need to ask ourselves, why are we angry? If we're trying to understand anger, why are we angry? Is it God-centered or is it selfish and self-centered? Are we directing our anger at sin? Or are we directing our anger at the sinner? And so some examples perhaps in the Bible of selfish anger, if we think about in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 8, Saul becomes angry because of the recognition that David is getting. Well, what is he really angry about? Well, he's jealous. It's a selfish anger. You think about Jonah in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1. Jonah gets angry with God for forgiving Nineveh. Well, what's he really angry about? Well, that's what we would call prejudice. He is upset because God's forgiven this people that he doesn't like. He's prejudiced. That's where his anger is directed. Esther chapter 1 and verse 12. The king there is mad at the queen because she refuses to come at his command. What's really the problem? Well, the problem is selfish anger. Again, he's got a hurt pride because she didn't respond the way he wanted her to. Or in Numbers chapter 22, and I added this one just because I thought it would be appropriate for me. Balaam gets angry because his donkey stops on the path and refuses to go. What's he really mad about? I don't know. Is this the first Bible case of road rage? I'm not sure. I know I hate sitting in traffic, and sometimes I get angry about that. That's a selfish anger, and these are examples of selfish anger. Well, what makes it selfish? Well, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, there Jesus says, "But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Without a cause. You know, sometimes I think we get blinded by our anger. We get so mad about something that we really lose focus on what the bigger picture is. And this is what Satan does to us. He uses our anger to take our focus away. And so we understand that not all anger is sinful, but any anger that takes us, you know, causes us to become blind to God's good blessings and God's plan for us, well, that's selfish anger. And so we even understand, though, that God was angry. Go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. "Now when the people, that is the Israelites, complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused." So we see that not all anger is bad. There is a good kind of anger. It's not a selfish anger. It's a God-centered anger. And so we see that God became angry. We know that Jesus became angry. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5 says there, "Jesus had looked around at them," that is the Pharisees, "with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts." What was he angry about? The hardness of their hearts, the fact that they wouldn't put their mind on spiritual things. And so we see that he became angry. In fact, he became angry to the point that he even took action. John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, there he found in the temple the money changers doing business. "And when he had made a whip out of cords, he drove them all out of the temple and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold, 'Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise.'" And so we see there is an anger that causes us to act. In fact, even our Lord had that kind of anger. There is godly anger that motivates us to respond. And we see examples of other people in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 11, we use Saul as an example again. Saul became angry when he heard that his brethren were being oppressed. And what does he do? He goes and rescues them. This anger motivates him to respond. In Exodus 32, we see that Moses became angry when the children of Israel built a golden calf. What does he do? He responds. He destroys the golden calf. 2 Samuel chapter 12, David became angry because of sin. And when he realized it was his own sin, he repented. And so we can see certainly that anger can be a very useful emotion when it motivates us to respond in the right way. But we need to move through our anger. We see that anger motivates us. It should motivate us to respond in the right manner, but it's not something that we hold on to for a long period of time because that becomes harmful for us. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, there and now verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So there he mentions anger. Anger is something that we need to put away. Psalm chapter 37 verse 8 now, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Well, now hang on. I thought we were supposed to be angry, but now you're telling me anger only causes harm? Well, we're talking about chronic anger now, the kind of anger that we hold on to and don't process. We mentioned some things that happen to your body medically when you first become angry, but I want to talk about the physical long-term effects of chronic anger for a second. Anger triggers the release of the stress hormone cortisol. It can create a blood sugar imbalance, decrease bone density, suppress the body's immune response and make it susceptible to chronic inflammation, suppress thyroid function, slow down the body's metabolism, increase the production of stomach acid, impair the brain's thinking ability, and increase blood pressure. Anger also makes the arteries grow stiffer and the heart weakens, the liver and the kidneys are damaged. Too much fat is released into the bloodstream, raising cholesterol. Angry people are 6 times more likely to suffer heart attacks by the age of 55 and 3 times more likely to develop any form of heart or blood vessel disease. That's from John Hopkins School of Medicine. So as we're thinking about anger, it can be a useful emotion if it causes us to quickly respond and correct an injustice, but it's not something that's good for us if we hold on to it for a long period of time. So are we holding on to anger in our lives? We have to remember that the devil's always looking for a place in our lives that he can launch an assault on us. And we mentioned that anger's a problem as old as Cain and Abel. Think about what happened in that story now, going back to Genesis chapter 4. I'll start there in verse 5. "And God did not respect Cain and his offering, And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. We're talking about anger and how the devil can use anger to get into our lives. Sometimes we have to assess the situation, and maybe we need to check our surroundings, check our friends, understand that those things will affect us. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company. Proverbs 22 verse 24 said again, make no friendship with an angry man. So if anger is something that we have a problem with, maybe we need to check our surroundings and the kind of people we're around and the situation that we put ourselves in and see if those things make us angry. And finally, give no place to the devil, which means we have to continue to monitor the things that make us angry. James chapter 1, starting there, verse 19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When we think about anger, well, what does anger produce? Especially selfish anger, as we're thinking about that, this harmful anger. Well, it can produce all kinds of terrible things. You look around the country today and around our society today, we see rioting. That is produced from anger. Prejudice, that's produced from anger. Wrath, hate, murder, envy, bitterness, stealing, slander, accusing, backbiting, all these terrible things are rooted in this problem of anger. And so we have to understand what anger is, what it can do, what causes good anger and what causes bad anger. And I guess the critical question for us then is, when does anger become sin? When does anger become sin? And I think the answer is, when it causes me to violate Bible principles, then my anger is a problem. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. For yourselves and for all. So when is my anger a problem? When it causes me to violate that Bible principle. Romans chapter 12, starting verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I will repay. So it's not my place to try to repay someone, and, you know, when I'm angry, try to get back at them, but rather, as much as depends on me, to live peaceably with other people. So when my anger causes me to violate these Bible principles, then my anger is a problem. You know, we can't always control the situation that we're in, and we can't always control how that situation makes us feel, but we can control how we express our anger. And no matter the situation, we always have a choice about how we respond. And we need to remember that God holds us accountable to do so. And we also need to remember that Jesus left us an example of how we should respond. Now, our final passage in our study together, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23 says this, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. You know, as we think about anger and as we bring this to a conclusion, what kind of things make us angry? Is it selfish things that make us angry, or is it spiritual things that make us angry that we need to make corrections about? I hope this has been beneficial to you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless.